My name is Tenzin Kaozang, and I'm a children's librarian at the Limited Branch of the Bukum Public Library, yes.
Tenzin is a BPL librarian who has become a small celebrity for her story time.
So far, I have done, I think, 10 story times, and the max I got is 40,000. It's been viral, you know, everyone's talking about my story time, so yeah.
So for reference, an average virtual story time at BPL gets between 100 and 300 viewers over the 2 days that we're leaving it up. So Tenzin's story time is pretty amazing. And back in March and April, when New York went on pause and BPL adjusted to this new reality of online programming, there was another conversation going on among children's librarians in particular, which was the need for more diverse story times.
We do have, multilingual story times throughout the, Bukum Public Libraries. We do have, I think, Spanish. We do have Russian and others. I'm not sure. They are, I think, over 10,000 Tibetan speakers, Tibetan language speakers in New York City. And for me, I know the language, right? So that's why I was like, okay, I'm going to try a story time. So I think in early May, I did my first story time. And I don't know how I did it because, the books that I read is in English but doesn't exist in Tibetan. And the songs I did, sing doesn't exist in Tibetan either. So, I kind of have to invent the wheel for, Tibetan speakers. So I usually shy. So I was like, I don't know how to do this. But I think it went well.
Little Red Hen makes soup. 자무마부친지기 탕수육. What could we do? As rabbits. We could make soup, said little rabbit. 리본기 가면 땅 아주 갈치기 인베라디상가.
We received so much comments, emotional comments from the viewers, and one says, our language is at the risk of losing. We do not have many children's books in Tibetan, as we are refugees. My English is not good to read books for my daughter, too. At the same time, she's losing her mother language, which is Tibetan, as well. So your service is language refuge for us. I'm crying with happiness. I think, these comments, full of emotions. And so then I was like, okay, I'll try to do more.
The Tibetan-speaking diaspora is very large because so many Tibetans have been displaced and are now refugees in countries all over the world. That's why moving the story times online has been so important for Tenzin. Not only does she have families listening in New York City, but internationally too.
Tibet was a country before, but in 1959, the Communist Party of China invaded Tibet, and a lot of Tibetans were exiled, and many of them are in India now as exiled refugees, and then, many of them are in the United States as well. So, yeah, that's why, because, as they are refugees, and, they don't have much resources. I cannot find any Tibetan books in, at the Bukum Public, we don't have any Tibetan language books for kids. So that's why I have to, translate all the books that I do. I have received some messages from the Tibetan weekend schools in Australia and Germany. They watch my videos to learn Tibetan. And then, I again receive messages from Nepal, the monks, the monastery, the little monks, they watch my story time for learning English. I know my English is not the perfect, right? Because, it's not my first language. Actually, I didn't expect that people would be watching my story time to learn English. But, I think they are doing it.
Today, settle in and let the library tell you a story. I'm Krissa Corbett-Kavoris.
And I'm Adra Duse. You're listening to Borrowed, stories that start at the library.
Yeah, well done. That's good job, wonderful everyone. So we're going to read our first book.
Since March, BPL has offered 950 story times online, which have reached an audience of about 500,000 viewers. That's pretty remarkable given that an average of 40 people, including kids and caregivers, would attend an in-person story time at our branches pre-COVID. And in a lot of ways, virtual story times have removed barriers that people may have had in attending our in-person events. They don't have to travel anywhere, or be anywhere at a specific time.
Of course, this has been really isolating, particularly back in March and April, to be home all the time. And we had parents reaching out to us to say, you know, the bright spot in my kids' week was getting to see their usual Saturday storytime librarian on their television.
One of BPL's most popular programs is Drag Queen Story Hour. It is exactly what it sounds like. Drag queens reading storybooks to kids. And they've been conducting story times online throughout the pandemic as well. Here's Cholula Lemon, a drag queen who has been performing with Drag Queen Story Hour for the past 3 years.
When I first heard of the program, I thought this is a no-brainer. This is the kind of programming that I wish was around when I was a kid. The response that we get is truly moving when we talk to families, especially, and when they start to see themselves in books that we read about family diversity, and even opening up the conversation about gender diversity and things like that, that may be a little more complex, but we're giving parents some of the tools that they need to have these conversations.
Part of the appeal of Drag Queen Story Hour has always been the costumes that the queens wear, and it's no different on Zoom.
It's like bringing a true live, you know, fairy princess or queen to the room. They get super excited about all that. So what I try to do is I typically wear something really bright and fun and colorful and have big hair and have tons of jewelry on. So it's really fun seeing kids react to that, and they're always just in awe.
When we met on Zoom, we had Cholula read one of Drag Queen Story Hour's favorites, a book called Super Satya Saves the Day by Rocky Mirchandani.
So this is going to be a fun one. If you have a kiddo in your quarantine bubble, you should put this on the speaker, or you should send this episode to your favorite little reader. We're going to turn it over to Cholula.
Super Satya Saves the Day by Rocky Mirchandani and photos by Tim Palin. It was a loud day on a loud street in the very loud town of Hoboken. The fire trucks made fire truck noises, the police cars made police car noises, and the swings at Church Square Park were extra squeaky. And the knot in Super Satya's stomach felt super tight. How was she supposed to do all the things that superheroes do if her superhero cape was stuck at the dry cleaner? Satya wished they could have picked the cape up on the way to school, but the dry cleaner was closed. Super Mama said she was super late to work and they couldn't wait for the store to open. They did stop for coffee though. They always stop for coffee. Mama says if she doesn't have any coffee, her head will explode. Today is going to be the worst, Super Satya thought as they headed to school. All of her superhero powers were in the cape that Super Mama made for her, and there was just no way her super senses were going to work without it. At school, Miss Karina was teaching the class about communities. Satya was excited to build her own city, but she couldn't get the structures quite right. She knew it was because she always did her best thinking with her cape on her back. Satya slumped in her chair. Nothing was going right today. That's when she spotted Tanya, her friend Jehan's lost T-Rex. Tanya had been missing for days and Jehan had been super sad. Super Satya scooped Tanya up and ran over to Jehan, who hugged his pal Satya so tight, she felt some super breath leave her belly. Super Satya, you did it! You found her! You really are a hero, Jehan said. Not without a cape, Satya thought as the class headed out for an afternoon walk. Outside, the boats were making boat noises and the birds were making bird noises. It was very loud. Suddenly, Super Satya heard a sound that didn't belong. It was a gentle whimper coming from somewhere near the grass. As she got closer, the noise got louder. A scared set of puppy eyes peeked out from behind the trash can. Don't worry, little friend. We'll find your family, Super Satya whispered. Even more sounds were coming from the town. Tweet, tweet, bloop, bloop. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Toot, toot. In the distance, a boy was holding a leash, running and shouting, Leo! Leo, come here, buddy! He looked just as scared as the dog. I think he's over here, Super Satya called to the boy. He looks really scared, and I heard him crying. His collar is too big for him, said the boy. Thank you for finding him. I love him so much, and I was really worried. You must have some super hearing to have heard this little cry with all this noise out here. Super Satya walked a little straighter on her way back to school. Her super eyes and ears seemed to work just fine without the cape. After school, Satya was missing her cape more than ever. Today was the day she had planned to conquer the tallest slide in Hoboken, but there was no way that was happening without her trusty cape. Forget it, she thought. But then, Super Satya started thinking about the day. She thought about all the super things she had done and all the friends she had helped. I wonder, do I really need my cape? With a quick nod and wink to her super data, Super Satya ran up the steps and took her spot at the top of the slide. She was scared, but she was also super excited. Without thinking about anything else, she let go. You did it! Super Data exclaimed as he picked her up and gave her a kiss. You are super brave! On the way home, Super Data and Super Satya stopped at the dry cleaner just like Super Mama said they would. The cape was pressed and ready. Thanks, Mrs. Markowitz. You always take such good care of my cape, Satya said as she left the shop. Having her cape back sure felt great, Satya thought, as she draped it over her shoulders. But she knew her day was super because she was... Super Satya!
Cholula, thank you. You read that so beautifully, and I feel like you encapsulated like the very spirit and soul of the book.
That's Rocky Mirchandani, the author of Super Satya Saves the Day. She joined us on Zoom to hear Cholula's reading and talk about the inspiration behind her book.
I have loved sharing this with kids and families and libraries, but I think I have loved sharing it with the drag queens the most. So I have a now almost 7-year-old daughter. She used to dress up like Wonder Woman every single day, like school photos, holiday photo shoots. It didn't matter. She was in a Wonder Woman costume. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could find a book where there was a girl who kind of looked like her, a little brown girl, dressed like a superhero.
So, library lover that she is, Rocky went to her local library in Newark, New Jersey, but she couldn't find a story about a girl superhero that looked like her daughter. She called her bookstores. She even searched Amazon and other online booksellers. Nothing.
And I was really disappointed. I'm a first-generation American. My parents are immigrants. I grew up in New Jersey. I had that feeling of not feeling seen for a really long time. And I know exactly how disappointing that can feel when you turn on a TV show or watch a movie or pick up a book and there is not a single character that reflects you. And I was really disappointed to think that my daughter was gonna grow up in that kind of world. And it was actually quite painful for me. And I was angry, but I was also very sad.
So Rocky decided to write the book she couldn't find, and Super Satya was born.
Ultimately, the story that I was looking for was mine. And nobody else was going to be able to tell it besides me. And that's the thing that I tell kids every time I go to schools. That like, this feels special to you because it's in a book and it's hard bound and it's very fancy and the illustrations are beautiful. And you can have that too, because ultimately the story in this book is mine. And the one that you're looking for and you can't find is yours. And so we just have to tell our stories.
And she's gotten an incredible reaction from her readers.
It happens every time. There'll be one or two kids who will raise their hand and they will ask me, are you Indian? Are you Puerto Rican? Because in this book and in me, they see themselves. And ultimately, I think I started writing this for an audience of one, Satya, my daughter, right? But what has come from this has become this great wide audience of so many children and so many parents who see themselves in this book. On the cover of the book, there's a man with a turban, right? That's exactly what my husband looks like. And when he saw the book, that man's almost 40 years old. And he looked at it and he said, you put a dad with a turban on the cover? Like, he didn't think it was possible.
Diverse representation is what Drag Queen Story Hour is all about. And so Rocky was excited to partner with the organization to bring her story to kids across New York City.
Every time someone will send me a photo or a video of a drag queen reading Super Satya Saves the Day, and it brings me deep, deep joy because I feel like we're doing the thing that we all want to do, which is making sure that all the kids see themselves in all the stories.
You can watch live story times of Drag Queen Story Hour on Facebook and Instagram, hosted by Brooklyn Public Library, and also hosted by bookstores and other libraries across the country. Visit dragqueenstoryhour.org to see upcoming virtual events. And I really recommend watching a story time if you haven't. The audio version here that we played is just a taste of the magic. Now, it wouldn't be a borrowed episode without books. So BPL librarian Juanita James recommended a few anti-racist books for kids.
My name is Juanita James. I'm a children's librarian at the Spring Creek branch. I think anti-racist books for kids has to show a different perspective and celebrate the diversity. Acknowledge that people are different, but they are the same as well. My first recommendation is The Day You Were Born by Jacqueline Woodson. It was illustrated by Rafael Lopez. And I really like this book. It's because about a little brown girl who started her first day of school. And she noticed a lot of differences about how she looked and how what she ate that's different from her classmates. But she shared something about reading to her little sister and how it transported her to different places when they read. And so she realized that there are some similarities with her classmates after all, and she was able to make friends. My second recommendation is The Last Stop on Market Street by Matt De La Pena, pictures by Christian Robinson. It's about this little boy named CJ, and with his grandmother, they were going on the city bus after church every Sunday. So he started questioning why they didn't have a car like his friend Kobe, why he didn't have an iPod like the teens on the bus. But his grandmother told him to look for the positive, the beauty in all things and people. And so I really like that book because it reminds me of the relationship I have with my grandmother. My mother was a working mother, so my grandmother and I created a close bond, and she took me everywhere. And finally, my third recommendation is Not My Idea, a book about whiteness, written and illustrated by Anastasia Higginbottom. And this book talks about white privilege and racism on a kid's level, trying to get them to understand that to a white child that's in the story who's questioning about the police brutality on the news. And it talks about white supremacy and the history of white supremacy. And it can help parents build a dialogue about these topics that a lot of parents really don't think kids really understand, and believe it or not, they do understand. So this is a good discussion piece.
Borrowed is brought to you by Brooklyn Public Library and is hosted by me, Adra Duse, and Krissa Corbett-Cavores. You can find a transcript of this episode at our website, bklynlibrary.org/podcast. Sound effects for this episode came from the BBC Sound Effects Library.
Borrowed is produced by Virginia Marshall and written by Virginia Marshall and Adjua Aduse, with help from Fritzi Bodenheimer, Jennifer Prophet, Meryl Friedman, and Robin Lester Kenton. Our music composer is Billy Libby.
Brooklyn Public Library runs multiple virtual story times every day in many different languages and with different themes. You can find them on our branch library Facebook pages or on Zoom. A full schedule is available on the events section of our website. And Drag Queen Story Hour is raising money to bring virtual story times to kids in New York City public schools. To learn more about their fundraising campaign, visit dqshnyc.org /fundraiser.
Borrowed will be back in the new year. So until then, enjoy the holidays, be safe, be healthy, and read a good book.